I'm never sure how to approach a Christmas talk because I know we're going to have so many visitors. Some of you maybe come to church only on Christmas and Easter. And I think it's great if you feel a pull to some sort of spiritual remembrance on the holidays, because it's easy to forget that, to just get really busy. Some of you may have been dragged here against your will, or you're humoring someone you love. That's fine too. You get points for adaptability. Some of you may be skeptical that unity's just going to be weird. We're not weird on Christmas. We're not. We play it really straight. Although you might have already been hugged. And other people never wanted to set foot in any church because people in churches are all hypocrites and they only want your money. That is cliche thinking, but it's not entirely wrong. We don't live up to Jesus' standards all the time. And we will ask for money later. We do it every week. Oh gosh, I already asked for year-end giving. So double dose. You are perfectly free to give or not give. Nonprofits run on donations, so we ask. And this might turn out to be a place you want to support. So for whatever reason you're here, we're glad to see you. We hope it feels like home. We'd love for you to come back if you live nearby or you visit Wimberley often. One of our primary teachings in Unity is that every human being is divine. We're made in the image of God and made from God, from the energy and substance of the infinite. So the light and love that are the foundation of the universe, which some of us call God, is all there is. So how could you be anything but God or spirit? A spiritual being living a human experience. Through the Advent season, the last four Sundays, I've heard myself telling people over and over, the story of Jesus' birth at Christmas represents the divine born in you. Unity calls it the Christ, capital T, the Christ, not Jesus' name, but as the template for the perfect human, which Jesus lived into. Living from that Christ consciousness is possible for all of us. The same spirit that was in Jesus is in you. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Angels sang at your birth too. You are another expression of God come to earth. And that sounds wonderful. But how do we recognize our own divinity? How would you know if you're showing up as divine in any given moment or when your lower nature has taken over instead? Well, first remember, you can't not be divine. It's who you are and how you were created. But we all can name people who don't appear to be expressing God, at least in our opinion. I mean, just turn on the news. We see people whose human egos and fears have led them to be destructive. Terrorism is an extreme example, but we all have days when we succumb to the less sublime parts of our nature. So what does divinity look like in a human being? Is it acting nice all the time? Is it behaving well and following the rules? Fortunately, we have an example of exactly what we're aiming for, a human being who is fully awake and living from divine consciousness. And that's the life we celebrate at Christmas, the baby who grew up to be Jesus. Personally, I don't believe Jesus is the only person who has ever integrated the divine and human into an earthly life. And instead of the word divine, you could use awake or enlightened. Surely there have been others like that. Jesus is just the one most familiar in Western culture and the one we celebrate at Christmas. But let's look at Jesus beyond the manger. What do we see modeled in the life that followed? What would his behavior look like in us? I came up with seven key elements to living as Jesus did, seven ways to know you're divine. The first is inclusivity. Jesus was criticized for it, but he insisted on eating with sinners and tax collectors, with people who were shunned by polite society in his day. He even talked to women. Who might you be shunning today? It doesn't have to be a particular group. It could be a relative or a coworker. You might not be rude to them. You just keep your distance. Maybe you say a word or two about them behind their back. And I don't mean unsafe people. I mean ordinary people you'd just rather not be around. How might you include them instead? The second quality we see in Jesus is forgiveness. Jesus did not pretend it's all good. He acknowledged the less than stellar choices some people make, but rather than criticize, he called them higher. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? They dragged her to the public square, not the man she was caught with, just the woman, and they were ready to stone her when Jesus said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." In other words, we all make mistakes. But he also addressed the woman. He said, "Go and sin no more." He didn't pretend she was innocent. He was telling her, "You are more than this." Jesus' students were always shocked at his willingness to forgive rather than condemn. They started to worry that they'd have to ramp up their own forgiveness. So they asked him about it. "How many times do we have to forgive someone? Like 7 times? Jesus said, 70 times 7, which is 490, but don't take it literally. No, I try to do the math for you. But he meant forgive as long and as often as it takes. Where is your forgiveness needed to free you from the energy of condemnation? Can you look past behavior to see the divine in another person or group? Because the alternative is to live in anger and hate that eats you from the inside. Forgiveness frees you. Jesus also demonstrated compassion. Compassion is understanding the difficulty of others' human journeys and empathizing with their hardships and mistakes, because we all make mistakes. Compassionate thinking makes forgiveness easier. For me, feeling compassion rather than condemnation is a clear sign I'm closer to my divinity. I'm thinking from my higher self. As a general rule, if you knew someone's full story, you would understand why they behave the way they do. So with people you're tempted to shun or blame, would it be possible to assume there's more than you know, to have compassion? If we keep looking at Jesus as a model of divinity in human form, we also see his healing presence. Now, of course, Jesus is famous for healing people. We call them miracles. But I believe we heal each other all the time, sometimes physically, emotionally, energetically. I mean, think about it. If you were inclusive like Jesus, if you understood people deeply with compassion and forgave them for mistakes, wouldn't you be a healing presence? People would just want to hang out in your energy, be in your light. And don't you know some people like that? You just want to be around them. You don't have to lay on hands or banish demons or cure illness to be a healer. It flows from your heart, your divine essence. There's another aspect of Jesus, call it justice. And I don't mean he judged who's right or wrong, who's going to heaven or hell. In fact, he's the one who taught us we create our own heaven or hell right here. By justice, I mean he was acutely aware of inequality, of the great divide between those who had money and power and those without. Some of the rich people he encountered were so attached to their possessions that they couldn't follow his teachings, even when they said they wanted to. He also saw abuses of power all around him in the Roman Empire, which occupied Israel at the time he lived. But the people who really got under his skin were the Pharisees, the Jewish elite who boasted about how religious they were. In Judaism at the time, you expressed your devotion to God by following God's law or the laws that had been laid out for you, like eating certain foods or praying in certain ways or tithing. And the Pharisees scrupulously followed those laws and then bragged about it. They didn't show any of the inclusivity, forgiveness, compassion, or healing that Jesus was demonstrated. He repeatedly called out the Pharisees, his fellow Jews, for their hypocrisy, for their fake religiosity. They followed the letter of the law, but not the Spirit of God. Jesus called them, "You snakes, you brood of vipers." Ouch. Are there times when you act all spiritual, while not really thinking, feeling, or living that way? There was also the red letter day when Jesus turned over tables in the temple to drive the money grubbers out of a sacred space. Is there any place you're accepting the status quo rather than speaking up, even creating a ruckus, where you see injustice or disrespect? So we see in Jesus inclusivity, forgiveness, compassion, healing, and justice, and two more things. And the next one's hard to describe, but it's really what sets him apart from everybody else. Call it knowing. The consistent message we have from Jesus, at least as his stories were remembered and written down later, is that life can be better. He kept telling us we can be better. And he was showing us the way. He was showing us the truth of ourselves. He was showing us the life of the divine that lives in every human being. I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said. He used the words I am to express his divine being. He wasn't bragging when he said, I'm a door, I'm a gate, I'm a pathway to God, because the I am was the infinite side of him, God expressing as him, and he was saying, we all have that. God said at the burning bush that his name was, I am that I am. We express our oneness with God every time we use the words, I am. That's why we're careful with words. If you say, I am depressed, you are attaching the power of the divine in you to being depressed. So use I am to affirm the truth of you, as Jesus did. You are the life of the divine in human form. Jesus lived in full awareness of his oneness with the power and presence he called the Father. He said, we're all part of that oneness. He was showing us what's possible for human beings when we are fully aligned with our higher consciousness. And the seventh quality we see in Jesus is especially interesting in light of his conscious, shining divinity. And that is, he enjoyed being human. Jesus had a body and a brain, and he used them. He studied from the time he was a child. He traveled everywhere on foot to carry out his work in the world. What most people overlook in the Bible is that Jesus was a party animal. In nearly all the stories, he's with people, lots of people. The 12 disciples, of course, but there were other men and women who just followed him around. Crowds gathered on hillsides to hear him speak. One man waited in a tree to get a glimpse of Jesus. Others crowded around him trying to be healed. And Jesus seemed to enjoy it, eating with the outcasts, going to weddings. That's where he changed water into wine. He even said at one time people had criticized him for being a glutton and a drunkard. And he made sure to have a final meal with his most special students the night before he died. Jesus said we could do anything he could do. It's in John 14:12. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I'm going to reemerge into oneness with all that is, but you'll be here to keep learning, to keep practicing what I taught you. Believe in me, my nature, the I am, the Christ of your being. Even though he spent his adult years preaching and telling stories and trying to explain what God is and who we are and how that all works together, Jesus taught best by example, by the way he lived. And wouldn't it feel good to live the way he lived? You'd be unafraid to honor the people around you no matter how they've been labeled. That's inclusivity. You'd be willing to overlook transgressions of other people to remember the divine nature of each being. That's forgiveness. You could understand the struggles most people are going through, compassion. You'd allow divine energy to flow through you to touch others in whatever way they need. That's healing. Spotting the spiritual fakes and confronting those who deliberately exploit others, that's justice. You also would live knowing your own divinity and that of every person, always aware of the possibilities for good and growth in each of us. And finally, you would enjoy being human, the physical pleasures, the friendships. The same spirit that was in Jesus is in you. His divine qualities are also hardwired in you. They were born in you, just as they were born in that baby in the manger. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Melinda.
So let's just take a moment to relax our bodies. Get yourself into a comfortable position so nothing pinches, nothing's too bent. And breathe. You can close your eyes so you can focus on the breath. Inhaling this precious substance of life that is given to us in every moment, and exhaling our life-giving breath. And that breath is just a metaphor for who we are. We are connected. We are one with all things. We are nourished by the universe, and our very presence, nourishes the universe. Breathe that in for a moment, knowing that your very presence nurtures the universe. As we celebrate this day where this divine being was born and recognized, we take a moment to celebrate that we are that. We are that divine being. And when we say that, it's not arrogance. What it is a challenge. Are we living up to who we were created to be? Can we be reborn in a decision to practice that inclusivity, that healing love? That justice, that forgiveness. Can we open our arms and our hearts and our minds to know that we are neither better nor worse? We're neither higher nor lower. Anyone else who ever lived or ever will. And when we see ourselves in right relation to everyone, life is smoother. Life is a party. Jesus would tell you that if he was here. There's so much to enjoy, to feel joy about, and to bring joy into. And so breathe in that acceptance of, if you're willing, accepting this challenge. It doesn't have to happen all at once. Even a tiny crack lets the light in. Filled with light. Jesus said the lamp of the body is the eye. So when we begin to see things as they are, then we allow that light to shine forth from us and into us. So we are that illuminated being, illuminated by spirit, illuminated by our willingness to hold the thought that we are one, that indeed love is the only answer to every question. And we are so loved. It can become very easy to go out and be love in the world when we truly accept that we are this love. That the angels sang at our birth and sing with us every day. Every moment, every thought of love, every expression of love is celebrated. And for that, we are so thankful. With one last deep breath, you can come back to the room. With